Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and praise the Lord for the blessing it has been just to be in His house throughout the day. Of course, this morning, we recognized our first responders and had an appreciation Sunday. What a great blessing that was today. And so many of you, I know, worked very hard to get somebody that you knew out to the church this morning, and no doubt the Lord was glorified in that. And what a special service we had this morning. And of course, it's been a blessing just to be back in the Lord's house this evening. And I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Several months ago, Pastor Tidd presented the idea to our staff that he wanted us to each preach a series to kind of get some training or some insight into what that would be like. And so between tonight and next Sunday evening, I'll be preaching a two-part series. And so he asked us to be praying about what the Lord would lay on our heart. And I somewhat wrestled for a little bit of time, and then I believe the Lord made it very clear that I was to preach on the idea of serving the Lord in the local church, and it brought me to this passage. And so if you've found your place in God's Word, if you'll stand with me, I'm going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this evening, and we're going to read verses 1 down through verse 9 as our text. The Bible says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." The Bible says in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God." Yeah. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. I want that to be our focus for the next two nights or the next 2 weeks here. Laborers together with God. It's an incredible thought. And I want to speak on that tonight. Laborers together with God. Let's pray, and after we're done praying, you can be seated. Dear Lord, we do come before you tonight. We are thankful for your goodness, Lord. We're thankful for the blessings of the day, and what an incredible Sunday we've had, and just the emphasis this morning on our first responders and the opportunity to minister to them and to show their appreciation to them. And then, Lord, you've met with us this morning, and we're praying, Lord, through the music and through the message tonight, that once again you would meet with us tonight. Lord, give us exactly what we would have need of, and we pray that you would be glorified through this. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. Here, obviously, Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church in this epistle, and I'm sure many of you are probably aware of some of the background of what the Corinthian church was dealing with. In fact, Paul was dealing with a myriad of problems as he writes this letter of 1 Corinthians, and you can go through and just go chapter by chapter and just see as he addresses problem after problem. And he gets to chapter 3, and to me, this is somewhat of a head-scratcher, to be real honest with you. It seems that there was a division in the church over the person that had reached them, whether it was Paul or Apollos. And the idea there was that in the church, some that had been reached by Paul were kind of teaming up against possibly those that had been reached by Apollos and saying, "We are better than you because the Apostle Paul had reached us for the gospel." I thought about it this way. It would be like here at Lighthouse. Those of you who had been reached by Pastor Tidd, he had won you to the Lord. It would be like you were getting together in a group and you would walk up to other people in the church and say, "Hey, by chance, did Pastor Tidd lead you to the Lord?" And you, the person might look back and you say, "No, someone else led me to the Lord." And it would be like you would turn your nose up at them and say, "Hey, you can't be included in our group. We're more special than you because Pastor Tidd led us to the Lord." Now, I understand something tonight. There is always a bond between a soul winner and the person that they reach. And that's a wonderful thing, and that's a special thing. But obviously, these people were taking it overboard in that they were saying, we are more special because Paul has reached us. You didn't have the opportunity to be reached by Paul. And they were turning up their noses at these people. And so obviously, Paul rebukes that mindset. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Instead of focusing on whom had won them to the Lord, they should have been focused on the fact that they are now in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That, praise God for the vehicle or the person or the soul winner that had won them to the Lord. But the more important thing is that they are now in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And at the onset of that relationship, listen, a partnership was established between each individual and God, in which through that partnership, they were privileged to be able to serve God, alongside of God, laboring together with God. In other words, here is a church that was caught up in rather these mundane things rather than being caught up in that relationship with God and serving God through that relationship. They're caught up in these little trivial matters along the way. And so Paul stops and he says, listen, we are laborers together with God. That's an incredible thought tonight. I want you to think about that idea, that the God of all creation gives us the opportunity to serve alongside of Him, that He calls us to a life of service. And I thought about this, when we labor together with God, listen, we are guaranteed victory. We are guaranteed the ability to watch God work on our behalf as we labor together with God. So much so that serving through the local church ought to be one of the easiest decisions we make as a Christian because of whom we get to labor with. It ought to be an easy decision for me to step out and labor together with God and serve the Lord in the local church because God has called me to a life of service. And God doesn't just call me to a life of service, but He says, you can labor alongside of me. Laborers together with God. Listen, one of the great blessings of serving God is stepping out into a situation in which you don't have the ability to minister. And yet you yield yourself to God and you allow God to take over and you allow God to take you and use you to do things that you didn't think were possible. And listen, let me just tell you, that is the testimony of those who are laboring alongside of God tonight. That God takes their lives and they're yielded to God. And in fact, if I were to bring some of our servants up here tonight, some of those that have even labored today in the ministry, and we were to interview them here on stage tonight, and I honestly think one of the prevailing thoughts would be a general feeling of inadequacy of self to do what God has called them to do. But they would say this, as I'm yielded to God, God has used me, and God has used me in mighty ways. And listen, that's not boasting in anything, that's giving glory to God. And God calls us to a life of labor to Him. And I understand, listen, laboring sometimes in ministry or serving in ministry can be a terrifying thing. My wife works with the Cubbies, the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Those kids scare me. I got to be honest. I had this thought, what if they all realize they outnumber the adults and they took over? Not that our kids would do that. But I'm just simply saying, listen, some of you are looking at me like, that's a terrifying thing. Listen, someone may have come to me before and asked me to labor in a ministry, and I can't imagine doing something like that. And yet God calls us to a life of laboring together with Him. And it's an incredible thing that service to God involves willing hearts and watching God move in powerful ways. And many of you would have that testimony. And you would say, Brother Andy, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen God work in mighty ways. And some of you, listen, as I've approached you and I've asked you to work in a certain ministry, and you look at me with wide eyes thinking, I don't know that I can do that. And certainly on our own we can. But when we labor together with God, God is able to use us to do those things. A few weeks ago I wrote down this quote from our pastor. I love this thought. The heartbeat of God is others. Jesus' entire earthly ministry was centered around people, so it's no surprise that He calls all Christians to a life of laboring together with Him. That's His heartbeat, other people, serving others. And so as we go back to our passage tonight, I believe that Paul gives us a picture of what laboring together with God looks like. And I want to point out just a few things tonight as we sort of lay some groundwork in this idea of serving God in the local church. I want you to first of all see, as we labor together with God, there is diversity of service. There's diversity in serving God. Look at verse 6, if you will. Paul says there, I have planted, Apollos watered. In verse 7, he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. In verse 8, he says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And so Paul is basically describing a couple of different roles, roles that he and Apollos had played. He's using the terms planting and watering here on three different occasions in this passage, and it certainly describes the roles a believer can play in bringing an unbeliever to Christ. And there's a diversity of roles. If I could illustrate it this way, this morning we had an emphasis on first responders. Obviously, almost on a weekly basis, there are visitors in our service. I want you to think about the different roles people play in visitors, or even this morning, first responders coming to our church. Obviously, there's the person that goes out and invites them to come to church. Some of you this week, or over the past couple of weeks, have maybe connected with someone that you knew that was a first responder. Maybe you went to a fire station somewhere and invited someone, or you had a friend that's a first responder, and so you made that initial invitation to them. And then when they got here to church this morning, there were greeters in our building. And they came through the doors, and there were some greeters there that shook their hand and had a smile on their face and welcomed them into church. There were people working at our welcome center this morning to be able to give maps of the building out. And certainly if they had children when they came through the doors, there was someone that took them and showed them where the nurseries were. And when they got to the nurseries, praise the Lord, there were workers in the nursery ready to receive those children. Maybe they had children that went to a junior church or a Sunday school class. And again, praise the Lord, there were workers there to receive those children and to sign them in, and they welcomed them in. And then those folks would have come to the auditorium. When they got to the auditorium, there was someone in the back that helped them to find a seat in the auditorium. Praise the Lord, the choir was full this morning. There were people here to serve the Lord in the choir. There were special music that took place. Pastor obviously got up and preached a Bible message. There were ushers to help this morning. There were people at handshake time that went up to them and welcomed them to the Lighthouse Baptist Church. There were people after the service that were friendly. I'm just simply saying there are so many people that are involved on a weekly basis when we have visitors and we have people coming into church. And here's what I want you to understand. Whether that person gets saved at our church this morning or whether they get saved sometime down the road, every person that I just mentioned had a part in playing and leading them to Christ. There's that diversity of service. You may be saying, I could never get up and teach a Sunday school. And you may be surprised. God could use you to do that. You may be saying, I could never get up and sing a solo in front of the church. I could never do this and I could never do that. And that may be the case, but I want to say tonight, there is something that God can use you to do. Every one of us have something that God can use us to do. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 a little bit later on in this letter that Paul writes to the Corinthian church. Many of us are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It deals with the diversity of gifts or the spiritual gifts that God gives each Christian with which to serve Him in the local church. He says there in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Isn't it an incredible thing that God gives to all of us different personalities, different gifts, and certainly different callings in the church? And as God gives us those callings, while they may be diverse, can I tell you tonight and remind you, there is only one God. There's only one Spirit, and in a unique way, He ties all of those things together within the local church to help the church function as it should. He goes on to say later on in this passage, he says in verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. He gives us the picture of the human body. He says the body is comprised of many different things, and all of those things, when working together, help the body to function. Listen, in the human body, when one thing doesn't work right, the rest of the body knows. It's very easy to tell at those times, and he says, so also is Christ. What he's referring to here is the local body of Christ, the New Testament church, and he says, every party that is a part of the New Testament church, every member of the New Testament church, God has called them to a life of service. God has given you a specific function, a specific spiritual gift. And listen, as members of this church, if you're a member tonight, you have a role in this body. And it's your responsibility to help the body function as a complete unit. He says, listen, we are called to a life of service to God. And so we understand tonight from this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that there is a diversity of service. Understand there is something for everyone to do in this church. Talk to any staff member. I was thinking tonight, I was preparing, and throughout this past week, I've said this before, none of our staff members work off of a waiting list. I was thinking, of course, we start tomorrow night with Awana. If you went to Brother Aaron tonight and you said, Brother Aaron, I'd like to be involved in Awana this year, do you think you can find a place for me to serve in Awana? I guarantee you he's not going to look at you and say, you know what? We're full this year, but come back and see me next year. Make sure you see me early enough to get on the list. No, we could always use workers. Listen, junior church, Sunday school, nursery, all of the ministries that we have here at the church, there is some place for everybody to serve. There are many needs and opportunities for service. And sometimes, listen, the mindset in a bigger church is this idea, there's so many other people, surely somebody else can do that. Or there's not a place of service for me. Can I tell you tonight, that couldn't be further from the truth. If you're part of this body of believers, a member here, God has something for you to do. And so first of all, we see there's a diversity of service when we labor together with God. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because I want you to see, secondly, not only is there a diversity of service, but when we labor together with God, there is unity in service. God draws the church together through serving Him as a complete unit. The Bible says there in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. There's a unity when we serve together. Listen, I gave that illustration just a few moments ago of all the people that would play a part in someone coming to this church. Everyone that I described to you a little bit ago, can I say this? They're all on the same team. They have the same goal. They want to see those that are unsaved come to know the Savior. Those that may not have a church home, they want them to find their place in this local New Testament body of believers, an unchurched family reach. Can I say it like this? Listen, I honestly don't think Paul and Apollos really cared who got the credit for these people. I don't think Paul was getting up on Sundays and saying, listen, I just want everyone to know this week I had 5 salvation decisions and Apollos only had 1. Listen, that's not what they were about. They were about seeing God glorified. They were on the same team. They wanted to see people get saved. And yet, we are human beings, are we not? Oftentimes the devil can lurk in sometimes even ministries. And I would say this, the dangerous mindset is service to God is that we would be in competition with somebody else rather than seeing them as a teammate. Listen, the devil can work through these things. And you say, Brother Andy, how can I avoid that mindset? Honestly, I think it's a very simple thing, but if we'll simply just labor together with God. What I mean by that is, if I'll just realize God has called me to the ministry that I'm laboring in. I believe that truthfully, and I think everyone that serves in a ministry here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church ought to have that same feeling that God has called you to that ministry. If you understand that God has called you to the ministry, here's what you need to be doing. You just need to be yielding to God on a weekly basis, allowing Him to lead you, praying, Lord, how would you have me to present this lesson? Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to interact? How would you have me to be a blessing to these children that I'm ministering with? Listen, if you're doing that, and the person that you're serving alongside of, they know that God has called them to that ministry, and they're yielded to that ministry, and they're yielded to God and allowing God to lead them, and the other person that's serving with you in that ministry knows that God has called them, and they're yielded to God, and they're allowing God to lead them, can I say this? There is a unique unity that comes upon that ministry. Now you don't view the other person as someone that you're in competition with, but you view them as a teammate with which God can get the glory. God is glorified when we have that mindset and the saints are unified. Psalm chapter 133 and verse 1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Can I say that God longs for His church, the Lighthouse Baptist Church? God longs for us to walk together, one another in unity, and allowing God to use us through these ministries. And so when we're serving together, we're unified. Some come to the church, and they may join the church, and they may say, "I just have a hard time finding my way into the church, assimilating myself into the church. I just feel like maybe there's not a connection for me here." Can I tell you, if you'll just get involved in serving God together with other people in the local church, you'll find that God has connections with you, with people, and that you'll be standing shoulder to shoulder with fellow church members. And listen, we've watched families that have gotten involved with the church and gotten jumped right into service, and it's like they've been here all along, because that's what God does when we serve the Lord in the local church. He unifies this body of believers. And God's plan is that we would labor together with Him, and it would bring unity in the church. And then finally tonight, not only is there a diversity in service, not only is there a unity in service, but finally, number three, there's a humility when we labor together with God. God does a unique thing and helps us to realize who's really in control of all these things. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look in verse 5 if you would. Paul says this, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos?" Really, we are nothing. He says, "Who is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." He says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." When we begin to serve God, very quickly we realize if anything is going to be accomplished, it's because He's doing it. It's not because I have ability. It's not because I have power or anything within myself. If something's going to happen, it's because God is doing it. Listen, that may be hard for me as an individual to take. I find that sometimes as humans, we don't want to rely on somebody else. We want to be able to do it ourselves. In service, we find that we are nothing and He is everything. We are capable of accomplishing nothing in our own strength and in our own power. But when we labor together with God and when we allow Him to work through us, He shows us what He's able to do. There's a humility, a natural humility that comes alongside of that. Listen, I would say this tonight. I must confess that I've taught in my own strength. I've labored, I've ministered in my own strength. And I'll tell you this, the results weren't pretty. And yet when we labor together with God, when we experience what God can do through us, listen, I trust this is your thought, that you never want to labor in your own strength again. That you want to yield to God and say, "God, would you please use me to help me to accomplish something for you?" Listen, it doesn't matter if it's little children or it's adults that we stand in front of and teach in front of. If we don't have God working through us, we will accomplish nothing. I'm reminded through this passage, as Paul preaches to this church, he says, "Listen, you're making a big deal out of me. You're making a big deal out of Apollos. We are nothing. It is God that has done this work." And I trust that everybody that labors and ministers through the Lighthouse Baptist Church, that we would not walk around with our head held high because of something that has been accomplished through our ministry, but we would realize, listen, the only reason that was accomplished is because that is what God did through me laboring together with Him. And so tonight, as we think about this passage, I believe that we understand that all Christians are called into a life of service. I trust that's something that you realize this evening. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're not serving through the local New Testament church, can I say you're missing out on so much of what God has for you? Listen, God has made us as Christians to be able to take in and then to be able to give out to other people. When we're not giving out, there's a frustration that comes along with living the Christian life. And when we're frustrated, listen, one of the ways we're able to serve God is just by laboring together with Him. And maybe there's someone tonight. You say, Brother Andy, you're exactly right. I realize that I'm to be serving the Lord in the local church. And that's something that I just need to do. Can I encourage you just to get involved in ministry? Talk to one of the staff members tonight. Talk to somebody. Say, how can I get involved in the ministries here at this church? Listen, as we think about this, when we serve God, praise the Lord for that unity that comes along. Maybe there's someone tonight and you're laboring in a ministry and there seems to be a lack of unity. It may be a time to reevaluate and say, listen, am I laboring together with God or am I laboring together with myself? Because when we're laboring together with God, I believe that God points to the fact in this passage that there's a unity. And then finally, I'm reminded that if anything good is going to result from my ministries, it will only be when I'm completely yielded to God. Maybe there's some here tonight, and you say, Brother Andy, I'm laboring in a ministry. And maybe it's time just to come to the altar and rededicate myself in that ministry and re-yield myself to God so that He would get the glory through the ministry and that He would accomplish in that ministry that I'm laboring in. Tonight, as we think about that thought, laborers together with God. It's such an incredible thing that God allows us to be involved in serving alongside of Him. As we have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, I appreciate so much the way that you've listened tonight. Listen, I don't know how God may have used this message in your heart. I believe this is what the Lord would have me to preach. And so tonight, as we consider the message and we consider the passage of Scripture, laborers together with God, maybe there is someone here tonight that's not involved in ministry, and it's time that you realize God is calling me to a life of ministry here in the local church. Maybe there's someone, you say, Brother Andy, there's a lack of unity. I just don't feel a unity that I once felt within the local church. And maybe it's because rather than laboring together with God, you've been laboring with yourself. Been trying to accomplish ministry in your own strength, and then maybe there's someone that is involved in ministry, and yet you just need to yield to God and say, God, would you get something, get the glory out of my ministry? As we pray here in just a moment, we'll have the altar open for an invitation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for the ability to serve alongside of you. What an incredible thought that you have given to us tonight, that we can be laborers together with you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight, that you'd apply this to our hearts and our lives, and that we would make decisions as you would have us to make those decisions. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.